it is to come to you, to hear you speak to us. We pray through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that you might touch us, that we might sense the importance of this day and of you. Thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Message for this morning, where is the rest? Where is the rest? For those who are guests with us for the first time, I have started a tradition since I've been here to preach about the Sabbath at least once a quarter. So you just happen to come on that particular Sabbath when I preach about the Sabbath. If you would come back with me to the Garden of Eden. At the end of the creation week, everything is beautiful and peaceful. Lush green meadows sparkle, and there are wild flowers of all colors. The rivers race through the fragrant forest, and they pour into magnificent waterfalls. There are exotic birds of all kinds that frolic among the trees. And they sing songs of harmony and of praise. And then on the sixth day, God completes his masterpiece of creation. For now he has completed man and woman. He's placed them in charge of the Garden of Eden. And as the sun is about to set on the sixth day of creation, God looks around and he nods with approval. For everything is good. No, it's very good. It's as perfect as he himself can make it. Then, according to the book of Genesis, and I invite you to turn there if you would, Genesis, the second chapter, God does something very, very important. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Title of the message is, Where's the Rest? Where is the rest? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says, Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were what, everybody? Were finished. And on the what day, everybody? The seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he did what? He rested on what day? On the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God what? He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. God set apart the seventh day for rest. God wasn't tired, but he had accomplished something. He had finished creating. And so God, in his loving kindness, shared that very important moment with us. And so he invited Adam and Eve to share the joy of his creation. And so when we talk about the Sabbath, we honor it as a memorial of creation. Amen? Of how good God is to us, And I invite you to turn to the book of Exodus, where is the rest. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus. And while you're turning there, I'll start reading at verse 8. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? Holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the what day? Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And did what, everybody? Rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And I invite you to turn, if you would, in the same book, Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And while you're turning there to Exodus chapter 31, I'm going to start reading at verse 16. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel for just a short time. All right, I have to check to see if you're awake. The Bible says forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. So why isn't the Sabbath more inviting? Why isn't the Sabbath more of a blessing? Where is the rest? I think it's because we are tired. We commute an average of several hours a day. We are interrupted at least 73 times a day. Every 8 minutes, a manager on a job is interrupted. We receive 600 advertisement messages every day through television and magazines and radio and billboards. We travel over 8,000 miles every year. We watch 1,700 hours of television every year. And we open 600 pieces of mail. I get 6,000 in my home. I get 60 at one time. We are not resting. Where's the rest? Where's the rest? The words that describe us are words that have nothing to do with rest. They say now that since we have so many ladies out in the workforce, I'm not being critical as much as I'm sharing. If you're in California and you own a home, you probably have to do that. They say they're working an average of 65 hours a week with work and homework. 65 hours. Where's the rest? Now we talk in our society not in seconds. We talk in nanoseconds. We're just moving and going and moving faster and faster. Where's the rest? Where's the rest? What's a trillionth of a second? That's what supercomputers, that's how they operate. What's a trillion? A second is fast enough. What's a trillionth of a second? Where's the rest? The Chicago Bears in the 1990s had a locker room game called Splash. The Bears, their defensive linemen, they were the big guys. They would have an intimidation contest with the small defensive backs. It's in the locker room. And it's not, I don't want to put this on television. You won't see this in the press. But they would get together and they would do their talking and intimidating. And they would isolate one of the defensive linemen would isolate one of the small defensive backs. And when they would surround him and isolate him, then they would splash. And so 320-pound William Refrigerator Perry, 270-pound Richard Dent, 275-pound Dan Hampton, and 270-pound Steve McMichael would jump on top of the small defensive back right there in the locker room, splash. 1,135 pounds of pain. And I gave that story to depict the consummate picture of overload. And that's where we are today. Have you ever wrestled with a tightly wound 2-year-old? They never stop wiggling. They go from toy to toy. But if you would grab them and hold them in your arms, and if you could keep them still for a few moments, they would go to sleep in your arms. There's some words that describe our world like busy and driven and fatigued and tired, exhausted, weary, burnt out, anxious, overloaded, stressed. Seldom will you hear the words connected with us, well rested. Even in our leisure, it's noisy and it's intense and it's fast paced. Someone called it lethal leisure. Have you found that you're more tired after the weekend than when it started? Have you come back from vacation needing some time to rest? Slow and quiet is not a part of our vocabulary. And as I shared in the first service, I have been intentional, and you have to help me not to raise my voice today. This is hard. I've intentionally tried to keep it somewhat mellow for a change. Somebody's going to go to sleep on me. I won't be able to keep you awake like I normally do. But that's okay. We're tired. Someone asked England's King George V what he would do if he could do whatever he pleased. And this is what he had to say. He said, I'd take the biggest car, drive as far away as I could, and I'd find a little farmhouse. And a farmhouse, there'd be a small, clean, whitewashed room furnished with only a bed and an open fire. I'd lie down on that bed alone and I'd look at the glowing fires and the flames playing blue about them. And I would rest. For once in a royal lifetime, I would rest. Where is rest? Is it hiding? I would like to tell you that rest is right under our noses all the time. The world is shouting at us, it's waving its hands, and it's asking us to do more and more and more. Just give me one more program, do one more thing. But the message of the Sabbath should be just the opposite. You see, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I want to turn your attention to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. You like this new quiet me? Maybe I'll adopt a new style. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Most of us know this passage. Come to me, the Bible says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word rest used is the same word in the Septuagint, the same word that we use for Sabbath. So don't let anyone ever tell you that there's nothing in the New Testament relative to the Sabbath. It uses the same word. Jesus uses his word, the same word that we use for Sabbath in the Old Testament. Rest. I'd like to give 3 points and then we'll be gone. Taken from this passage. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. One of the things that we should do every single Sabbath, in fact, it ought to be the first thing that you do. Jesus says, come to me. That should be the number one and the first thing that we do on Sabbath. We should meet Jesus. Oh, it's hard. It's hard for me to keep down. I'm getting excited just saying it. We ought to meet Jesus. First thing. Last night, my wife, as she came in from work, she said, you know, we need to have worship. She was saying to me, in essence, the first thing that we need to do as the Sabbath is coming in is to meet Jesus. Come to him. Oh, I know. Where's the rest? We're so busy. So many things to do. Is the first thing regarding the Sabbath, is it meeting Jesus? Jesus says, if you'll meet me, you won't have to worry about your food. You'll never be hungry. You'll never thirst. Just meet me. Let that